With you, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus passed through the towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem, someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" And he answered, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many will tell you and who will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. And after the master of the house has risen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' And he will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you have come from.' But you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company and taught in our streets.' And then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself shut out. And the people will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south, will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last will be first, some are first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Luke, not Matthew, and I mentioned Matthew there. So if you're looking it up, it's in the Gospel of Luke. When I first heard this gospel years and years ago, when I was a little boy, and they preached that few will be saved, and then they preached the fires of hell, and they graphically explained the fires of hell, eternal fires, and worse than a life sentence, because at least in a life sentence you'll die. But in these fires, you'll never die. You're going to be there forever and ever, eternally. Well, it scared the living daylights out of me. I'll say, how can I know if I make it in the small group through the narrow door? An awful lot of people will be lined up that are much better than I am. It's a bit scary when you look at it this way. But then over the years, I began to learn more about the Word of God. And through prayer and understanding, I began to read the gospel in a new and different way. So let me explain what this gospel really means. The narrow door, that's the door of love. It's not the door of law, it's a door of love. And many will come and will not know how to enter the door of love. It's not familiar. But they will say, "We ate in your company. You preached in our streets." And he'll say, "You knew about me, but you did not know me." And there's a big difference knowing about Jesus and knowing the person of Jesus. So let me wonder with you what this really means to us in our own journey of life. Many of you have been to Rome, and any person that goes to Rome goes to the Sistine Chapel. But unfortunately, most people look at the creation story on the ceiling and then the Last Judgment there in the rare dust of the altar, where we saw in the movie The Conclave, and that's where the election of the Pope happens, in the Sistine. And the judgment, depiction of the judgment from Matthew 25, looking down on all the cardinals and looking down on us when we go there
Unfortunately, we don't ever stop long enough to examine the theology of life that's found in that masterpiece, 1535. Took him 6 years to finish it. I want to look at the theology of this by way of a teaching. You have the sheep on the right, dextra. The goats, they're on the left, sinistra. You can tell the goats don't have much of a chance here. The sheep are on the right, the preferred ones. The goats are on the left. And when you're looking at the painting, on the left, you will find those who are saved. And you will find they're looking up and they're looking out. And when you go over to the goats, you will see they're looking down and they're looking in. That's the theology. It's the sweep of life. The sweep of life in Jesus Christ, life and death. What does this mean to you and to me every day? It means if we act out of love, we are opening up ourselves and we're looking up. There are times in my life when I was kind and I was welcoming and I was forgiving, I was at my best. And I knew that I was looking up and I was looking out. But there was a time in my life, especially before I came to Holy Family, I was a 34-year-old Monsignor down in a big office with authority and power way beyond my age, my maturity, or my competence. But I had power. I exercised my power. I was legalistic, I was canonical. It was the language of the establishment. That's what I was taught. That's what I did. It was power. It wasn't love. And later on, I will grow in maturity beyond the big office, and I will discover that I am a sinner myself. I have no competence to judge anyone. I will discover that I find the narrow door through my emptiness and my poverty. That's the meaning of this gospel. Years and years ago in Africa, I've used this image before, but it's important. Near Yaoundé, which is the capital of Cameroon, a missionary explained to me about a village close to Yaoundé. And in this small village, they had a temple right outside the village. And once a year, every man in the village, curiously enough, not the women, every man in the village was required to go to the temple once a year by himself. And at the entrance to the temple, he would take off all his clothes and he will be totally naked. And in his nakedness, he will back into the presence of his deity and he will sit there until he hears the voice of his God telling him what his mission was for the next year. And after he had heard his mission for the next year, he would get up, put on his clothes, go back, and live out the mission given to him for the next year. But the extraordinary thing about it is that he could never hear the voice of his deity except in his nakedness, in his poverty, in his emptiness. So the narrow door is given to every one of us. It's a door of forgiveness, of understanding. It's a door of welcoming. It's a door that appears in your family. It appears in our church. And I know when I'm hearing confessions, and I listen to a person sharing their weakness, I know that it's my weakness that can identify with theirs, and therefore kindness and compassion, understanding, not only to experience the forgiveness of God, but to experience the healing and encouragement of God. And I know in my soul, when I exercise that kind of kindness, I'm looking up and I'm looking out. And there are times when we'll carry a grudge. We never have enough. We need more, we need more. When we don't see the suffering around us, when we're afraid to face the crisis and the anguish in many people close to us, when we really don't care about the father of a family, a hardworking man who is deported and lost to his family. Family doesn't know where he's going, doesn't know where he is. Does that matter? I'm looking up and I'm looking out. Or I'm looking down and I'm looking in. And I say, it doesn't affect me. When I look at the starvation, the hunger in Gaza, and I'm afraid to speak up about this crisis in the lives of thousands of people, am I looking up and out? Am I looking in fear and in my own self-interest? Who is it in your life that needs forgiveness, that needs understanding? What wound do you have in your family that needs to be healed? And the Spirit calls us in the Word of God today to look up and to look out. And that's the narrow door. And those who come to the narrow door, they know Jesus. It's not just that you pray, but you must live your prayer. That's the meaning of this gospel. It's not about death, it's about the manner in which we live our lives. So take the Word of God, carry it with you today into your homes, into your families, into your communities. Search your life and wonder what this really means. Does it mean you go beyond the place where you thought was your boundary? Does it mean that you reach out rather than pull back? Does it mean that you don't have to get equal? You don't demand. You don't ask somebody to pay back what you gave as a gift. A gift, not a loan, a gift. What does this gospel mean? What does it mean to me as a priest at Holy Family? Does it mean I welcome everybody? My good friend Monsignor Turgeson and I, he taught me, and we have both agreed that we should never say no. No matter what kind of a problem people bring, we never say no. There's always a way. There's always a solution. So never say no. In the worst case scenario, you say, why don't we talk? Why don't we come together and talk about it? We'll find a way. There's always a way. That's what it means to look up and to look out in a pastoral sense for the priest. We have enough law. We're short of love. Amen. Amen. Praise God.